JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, welcome to Friday.
We made it. We made it to Friday, Mike.
Yes, we did. And yep. 32,500 gain. It ain't the heady old days, is it?
No. This is migration. We got the latest data on the comings and goings yesterday. So migration and tourism data for January. Looking at the migration data, this is provisional. Remember, we've always got to put that caveat on it, that subject to continual revision. But yes, to the end of January, an annual gain of 32,500 people. Well down on the, let's call it 122,000, that was a 12-month number to January 24. But that trend, it's been well noted, it's reasonably consistent, but we really have come off the boil, haven't we? So migration arrivals, migration departures, the net difference is the permanent long-term migration number. You've got 123,000 migrant departures in that 12 months, that's the highest on record. And you can't do these numbers without noting that the peak in October 23 was 135,500 when it was really running hot. Let's just put some context around this, Mike, because you know I love doing that. Long-term average for January years before COVID was a net migration gain of 27,000. So we're heading back to gains consistent with the average long-term population gain from migration. We always get a breakdown of composition for the January 25 year. Outside of returning New Zealanders, the overwhelming key contributor to migration is arrivals from India or Indian citizens, almost 26,000 in the last 12 months. Of course, Luxon's going there next week, followed by arrivals from China and the Philippines. On a monthly basis, bringing it down to monthly, provisional estimate 3,600. Yeah, seasonally just that, you get about 2,400. That number will be revised. But you do have to make the observation, Mike, that the downward trend, I think, you know, it's definitely stalled. It's stabilizing. I think the risk that we head into negative permanent long-term migration is definitely diminishing. But you've obviously going to have, I think you can very safely infer, you've got a softening of economic support from net migration. You know, the impacts on economic growth when compared to when we were running those crazy totals, I mean, 120,000, 130,000, a lot less. So reduced demand, less pressure on housing. Tourism numbers, Mike.
Yes.
You know, they are moving up.
Yeah, but mate, it's been 6 years.
Well, yeah, it has, but, you know, it's mainland. Good things take time there, Mike. The magic number's 4 million for the year. I think, what are we at the moment? We're at 3,358,000. It is the highest number since March 2020. We're not there yet. They are spending. They're spending well. There's no impact, seeming impact, from the New Zealand International Visitor Levy. Remember that came in?
No, that's correct, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be impacting people. These guys are spending, though. I mean, you think about it, you've got the US and the Brits coming in, and their dollar's worth a lot more than the New Zealand peso. So, and we're also seeing a big lift in the number of people arriving in Christchurch and Queenstown, because
I think the
planes are going back in there.
Well, yeah. If I was coming into the country, I'd be going to Christchurch and Queenstown as well. By the way, fortunately, they've got about 24 hours to solve their problem, but this shutdown thing is the usual shambles.
Yeah, but it's symptomatic of everything that seems to be happening in the US at the moment, isn't it? So, yeah, over the next 24 hours, this talk of a government, US government shutdown is going to rise to a crescendo, Mike. Technically, they have got to do something by the 14th of March, which is, that'll be today. So they need to pass legislation, obviously, before Monday. You can see parts of the US government shut down. The thing we've got to note here, it has happened before. It happened in 2000. I mean, it doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen. The last time was 2018, lasted almost a month. So Republicans need to bring a spending bill to the Senate. It's already been passed in the House of Representatives. This bill could be blocked by Democrats in the House. Yeah, just a reminder, you've got 53 Republican seats, you've got 47 Democrats and independent. This bill needs 60 votes to avoid procedural obstacles. Democrats have a counter plan to keep the government operating till early April. One Republican senator has already indicated he would vote against it. Well, you're going to have the usual brinkmanship, finger pointing, more uncertainty. The interesting thing here, Mike, is if it has to go back to the House, if they can't make a decision, they've all gone home. They are not there.
Yes.
So this thing has got to happen.
Yeah, these are good
otherwise
times.
It will shut
these
down.
Are very good times.
Yeah.
Now, what are the numbers?
So the Americans not enjoying the session today. The Dow Jones is down 576 points. That's 1.39%. 40,777. The S&P 500 is now flirting with a 10% fall from the high in February, which is technically a correction. It's down 64 points, which is 1.15%, 5535. And the NASDAQ is down over 2%. So another weak session for the NASDAQ, 383 points, 17,267. Overnight, the FTSE 100 barely changed. It was only up 1 point. The Nikkei also had a fairly, it's down 0.08%, 36790. The Shanghai Composite lost 0.39%, 3358. The Aussies lost just under 0.5%, 7749. The close in the ASX 200. The NZX 50 lost 0.33%, 40 points, 12,1209. Kiwi against the US on the wholesale markets, 0.5710. 0.9075 against the Aussie, 0.5251 euro, 0.4409 against the pound, 84.25 Japanese yen. Gold has gone to a record high due to the uncertainty around the joint safe haven buying, $2,978 there, and Brent crude, $70 on the nose.
Have a great weekend. See you next week. Andrew Keller, jomowealth.co.nz.